There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Who are your food heroes, those you look up to, those you've been inspired by and learned from over the years? Maybe they're the food ingredient heroes that you cannot live without. Text in and tell us yours now. Might be a mum, might be a celebrity chef, a friend that you've cooked with, whoever, and whatever it is, share your story with us on the Thursday brunch today. And now I'd like to welcome to the show...
Introducing the panel...
Our panel, Chef Sylvina Rowe, founder of Omnia Restaurants. Hello, welcome.
Hello, hello.
Great to have you back on the show. And also Chef Izu Ani from Lighthouse D3. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome back. Great to have you in. You've already made an impact. You've already, we've had your donuts in the break, and Tom Urquhart has enjoyed his donut already. He's gotten his fill, and it was just, it's too much to handle because the rest of us haven't had it yet, and we're getting there. We are getting there. Clearly, it is about treats today, but we've got a great balance because, Sylvina, you've brought in some very healthy stuff too.
You see, this is how they make me look like the villain, just because I care and I love people and I want to give them paleo, vegan, sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, deliciousness and
it's
voluptuousness.
So delicious. I agree with you.
There is this guy come here. And where did he even come from with this huge, like, 30 donuts, you know?
You like my nuts, huh?
They look beautiful.
Are stunning. If you when you head over to our Facebook page, you'll be seeing very, very shortly some photos, some video on Instagram also, and on Twitter of the amazing selection of treats that we've got with us today. But last but not least, I want to welcome to the panel Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB and blogger at Ishita Unblogged. Hello.
Hi, Sally.
Great to have you back with
Thank you so much, Ishita.
But you know what? Today's show is all about our food heroes, who we look up to, who we have looked up to in our journeys as for you, as chefs, as a blogger. Who's been important for you? Can I start with you, Sylvina?
I mean, you know, with food heroes, it's, you know, it's a difficult one because, you see, I always say that there's so many worthy professions out there, you know. You have firefighters, you have nurses, doctors, teachers, you know, and those are the people that make the people that make the life the way we want it to be, you know, amazing and special and everything. But food, it's so important because it is so important what you eat to have this amazing health lifespan, to be the doctor that you need to be the nurse that you need to be the firefighter, etc. So I really, as far as... food heroes go. There are a number of chefs that I admire, that I really admire. And one of them, and the biggest one I admire, and I've never met him, is Jose Andres, you know, from US, you know. And right now, as we speak, he's in Peru, I believe.
For those who don't know him, tell us about him.
I mean, he's just an amazing guy. First of all, he is probably, for me, the most innovative, the most inspirational of chefs. And... funny enough, his brother works in Dubai and has a restaurant here. It's not quite the same, unfortunately. It is his brother by blood, but the food, the delivery is very different. But what José Andrés has is this incredible passion and this commitment to people, to humanity, and how he combines charitable work and food with talent, with art, because he's an artist and he has some of the top restaurants all over the world. And it's very innovative. I love his innovation. And I love right now what he's doing. Do you know that right now, because of the hurricane damages and everything, he has managed to feed over 22,000 people. And this is my food story as well, because he has managed to feed more people than Red Cross and all the other charities put all together in this particular region of the hurricane. And it's just one man, you know? And
for so through his restaurant, through his...
Yeah, through his empire. I mean, needless to say, he's a very powerful guy. Mm. He's probably multimillionaire, I should hope, because he deserves to be, because he makes incredible food, he makes incredible art, he inspires people, he's very businesslike, he's very lucrative as well. But at the end of the day, he gives. And when I read today the statistic that he's actually fed more people than these amazing charities that are out there and that are financed, etc., then I thought, wow, what a heart, what a human being.
That is really incredible. And obviously with the recent hurricanes and the recent natural disasters that the US has seen, it is so important to see people giving back, particularly those who are in a position, have come to a position of celebrity and power and money, that they do and that they can give back, and they set that example for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, he's also very humble, and I wish, I mean, yeah, humble, as humble chefs can be. I mean, look at Chef Yves, really, really, with his donuts, hello. No, so we chefs are not very humble people.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not at all. We are egoist and we are ego seekers, you know.
It depends on the mindset.
But he just is an amazing man, and I'd love to meet him one day. And I will, if I make it up to, like, in my head, of course I will. But I just love reading and listening and watching and seeing the food he's doing. You know, so it's great.
I'd be surprised that he wouldn't want to meet you too.
Well, if he's listening right now, he will pick up the phone and call me immediately. Think, really, yeah, come on, Sally, make it happen.
We should
I think
try.
It's going to be an experience for him. Huh?
We should try and get on that and put the word out to the chef to meet you. I think
absolutely.
So. Ashita, I want to come to you now in terms of food heroes. Who or what has been really pivotal for you?
You know, Sally, I grew up in Calcutta, and very typical Bengali parents. I don't think I had a hero when I was young, because food was such a natural, organic part of your daily living. You never realize that there has to be heroes and heroines in the kitchen doling that out. So I've had I probably took good food, deliciously cooked home food, almost for granted.
A lot of us do, don't we, when we're young, yeah.
So now at the age of, you know, like 40 plus, like, I think we're all...
Come on, let's not reveal everything.
You know, and with a blog that I write and a magazine that I edit, I really, really feel that back in my mind, there have been a few imprints of some people who probably I would like to mention, and they are my heroes. So definitely my maternal grandmother, for whom she never went out of the house, and the whole day all she did was cook for her 7 children and then later grandchildren, and everybody having their own demands, somebody not eating this fish, somebody wanting something. And she did everything. And those days there were not so many restaurants, there were no concept of restaurants at all. So everything from intricate desserts to elaborate starters to mains to everything that would be served in probably a wedding reception, everything would be done at home.
Yeah.
So I grew up in that environment, and today when she's no more, I do realize what a huge impact she has left, where her love was reflected through the food that she cooked for her people and family members around. Then later on in life, I think my mom-in-law also has a huge impact. And again, when I was living with them there, I didn't realize at all. And now today, 20 years of living outside my home and making my own family and having my own kitchen here, I do realize what an impact she has made. Because, you know, she still writes down every recipe that she sees on a television food show. Even though there is Facebook, there is, you know, WhatsApp.
You can just get it online,
and she has the diary where she really writes down. And I would also like to mention my nanny, who is from Philippines, and she's been living with me for 10 years now. So she's gone to Calcutta, she's picked up a few things, and from the time, you know, like, she's from a different country. But today, if I invite you guys home and, you know, like, she's cooking Bengali food, I think it's very difficult for anybody, even a Bengali, to understand that she's not from the country. So I think that's what Dubai does to us. You know, we
get it inspired by others.
By different,
we take the influences.
Yes.
We use that in our own food. We certainly do. But I love that you mentioned her as well, because, you know, we forget that there are those people around us who, you know, it might be the helper at home who helps you to cook your dishes, and they can be doing fantastic things with you and for you as well.
I really want to, of course, I mean, she's a huge part, because today I'm sitting in the studio and speaking to you, and this, you know, it's a school break right now, and I don't have to think of what the lunch is being fed to my children, because she's really taken the realm of the kitchen.
These are the kind of stories that we're sharing. We're going to get to Chef Izu in just a moment, talk about his food heroes. It's the Thursday Brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai i 103.8. It is the most delicious day of the week. You know it. It is the Thursday Brunch. And welcoming to the table today, we've got Chef Sylvina Rowe, leading wellness chef and founder of the Omnia Restaurants, the portfolio of Omnia Restaurants here in the UAE. We've got Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB and blogger at Ishita Unblogged. And just before we left off, Ishita, you were talking about your food heroes and the way that it's just, it's so, you know, through time, it's just, it's not about one person. For you, it was about different people at different times in your life. But it's never about one person. You were saying just now, you know, in terms of food and what it means and how it brings meaning to your life and the way that it's cooking with love. You know, it's a family thing. It's something that you do with friends, which I really, really loved. Chef Izu is also here, Chef Izu Ani from the Lighthouse D3 with his donuts. Now, I've got to keep saying that because I'm dying to get into them.
They smell very good, huh?
Let's move along. No, let's ask you first about your food heroes. Who's meant a lot for you?
I mean, everything starts from home, really, because the passion and the desire and basically your first food experience is always from your mother, and that's where I agree with Nishita. And Sylvana said something very important. It's also about the passion. So my mother had all of them, and for me, food is all about the culture. I grew up in London, so basically I was born in Nigeria, grew up in London, so she upheld the culture for me through the food. She was my hero in every sense, because I never had a father. She was both of them, and plus worked three or four jobs to just keep the family going. So she's still basically, she did everything for us. And the way she cooked with passion. And when you cook for your family, there's a different view. You look at the ingredients, the different take on it. It's just everything she touched, it just tasted good. She didn't have like a paper with the ingredients and the measures of it, and she never had a chopping board. She chopped everything by hand. Sometimes I try some of her recipes, it never tastes the same. Exactly the same ingredients, but never taste the same. It's how you approach it. I mean, I always normally say to people in the kitchen, you should always speak to your ingredients, speak to your carrots, speak to your tomatoes, and people think I'm nuts, which I am actually. But anyway, it's the way you approach food. Food is not about chopping something. It's about a relationship that you build with it. And for me, I mean, the only person I can say that I got loads of food heroes, but my mother is the pinnacle and the person that really, she's the one that gave me the passion for what I see today. So I always say to people, I mean, when you see someone new, you greet them, you say, hello, how are you? And then you carry on your conversation. Exactly the same thing with ingredients. You just got to greet it, look after it, and make sure that you have a relationship, not an ownership relationship.
Get to know it.
Exactly. And that's the thing I keep saying to people. Be a partner to something. Don't own it. Because when you own it, you basically kill it and you transform it into something else. And then people don't understand it. Leave it simple. Leave it be you. And food is a way to translate culture. And that's what I love about what she said about her maid that works with her. Now, if I get invited to the home,
of course, I
could learn more about her culture, and her maid will bring some of her culture. It's like, you look at Peruvian food was one of the in things. What I love Peruvian food, you know why? Because it had so many layers of different cultures. It had the Spanish culture. The Spanish, when they came to take over the Inca, they brought the African slaves, so they brought their food as well. So that had another layer. The Japanese, the Chinese. All these multiple layers made it so interesting, made that story so deep. One of my also professional heroes was Phil Howard in London. Because the reason why one of my favorites is because the way he treated people. It wasn't how he chopped a vegetable. And that's what really stuck with me, because we get this stigma that chefs are angry, always angry at people, angry at everything in life, angry at whoever's around. We're not angry. We're just happy people that have a pressure to basically succeed, to give happiness to people who don't know us.
There's a very good reason why it's a cliche to say, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen.
True.
It's a high-pressure environment.
It is a high-pressure environment because we want to give pleasure. Mm. For me, food is a medicine. And that's what I look at it. And I know my colleague here bought some bird food over, and I've bought some.
No. I feel like we're going to have food wars in here in a minute.
No, it's all good.
We've got the variety. We've got the full variety here. Exactly. But I want to just jump back to what you were talking about in terms of, you know, bringing cultures together. I got to visit Mauritius over the summer for the first time. And, you know, all of the different cultures there, I was amazed. You know, you've got, of course, the African culture is there. You've got the subcontinental Indian culture is in there. Yep. You know, the Creole influence, the French, the British. There are just so many bits and pieces that are put together. And when you taste their food, it's magical.
It lasts, because every time you taste it, you discover something new. You go back again to discuss something else. And that's so interesting about food. When you layer it with these different cultures, it just carries on giving. And for me, food is, there's two things you take pleasure in life, is food, and the other one I can't mention on air.
Yeah.
Exactly. And these two things are so important. That's why when you eat good food, you've got a smile on your face. You're just like jumping around.
About feeling alive.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
You can't, that's why I believe that, okay, when people say diet, I hate that word. You have to have something which is you, which is a part of you. It has to be sustainable. So you have to live a lifestyle, because a diet is a momentary thing. It's something that you do for a certain time that you keep remembering. But if you live a balanced life, you can eat anything you want. You can enjoy anything you want. I mean, I'm a person that I love to cycle. I love to get out there, but also love to eat. I can have as much cream as I want, butter, olive oil. I love olive oil. It's one of these things that excites me when I'm cooking about it. So for me, don't restrict yourself, because when you restrict yourself, you restrict how you can see different things.
Mm, love it. We're talking food heroes today. We are talking the things that influence us, what we hold dear, what's had an impact on how we cook, how we eat throughout our lives. Wonderful conversation here with Chef Sylvina Rowe, founder of the Omnia Restaurants, Chef Izu Ani from Lighthouse D3, and Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB. We're going to continue the conversation in just a moment and get to some food news and ask the question as well. Should you be stopped from Instagramming food in a Michelin-starred restaurant? That's all coming up next. Now, I'd like to welcome back with us Chef Sylvina Rowe, founder of the Omnia Restaurants, Chef Izu Ani from Lighthouse D3, and Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB, and Ishita Unblogged. Now, let's take a look here.
Guess the ingredient.
Now that's your cue, Chef Izu, to give us the first clue.
You have to read it.
No, is it me? Who's first?
Yes.
Okay. Who is it?
I can go first.
Ishita. Go for it.
The mystery, right?
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so today's mystery ingredient is a gluten-free superfood. It is higher in fiber, protein, and fat than wheat flour, but cannot be used as a direct substitute without making adjustments and changes.
Okay, that's your first clue for the mystery ingredient. Now, we're talking food heroes today, and Chef Izu, you were just sharing some of yours. We're talking about those people who have really made an impact on how you cook and how you do it, how you eat even, how you see food, all of those kind of things. And for me, it's definitely been my mum as well. So I can definitely relate to that. It's about the love that gets put into the food. And like you said, food is about relationships. At the end of the day, it really is about that. And, you know, for me, you were Nigerian, grew up in England, in the UK. My family's of Iraqi background. We grew up in Australia. And so the same kind of story. It's like, you know, those special Iraqi dishes that my mum made, particularly dolma, which is heaven on earth. But I'm too scared to make it because it's just like, it's like the pinnacle. It's like, it's almost sacred. It's like so special. I only want to eat it from my mother's hands. You know, it is just like, it's, there's something about it. The way she makes it, if I tried to make it, it's not about a recipe, is it?
Exactly.
Food, it's not, you know, passing on a recipe, it's fine. You know, buying a cookbook, making the recipe, yeah. But there's something else, you know, that you add yourself.
Exactly.
To that dish, don't you? And in terms of, I love what you said about kind of not even after a while when you know the dish and when you know the food, you're not even measuring anymore. You know, like we have a saying in Arabic, you know, Eid al-Hur Mizan. So the person who you know, knows the food and is making the food, that's the measurement. It's exactly. Their hand.
Yes.
Their hand is the measurement. You don't need teaspoons or cups or anything for that. They know.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that there's no real measurement, because whenever I ask my, you know, parents back home, how have you been? Oh, it's very easy, you know, you just put this and this and this. And did you put this? Of course. That
yeah.
Exactly. So you have to say that, right? So that's really funny. And Sally, it's not really very difficult to cook, you know. I think you should make that heaven on
earth. It's not difficult. It's not even about the difficulty. It's like, it's the meaning. It's so special. Yeah. I just want to only eat it when she does it, you know, because it's just,
it's,
I just
different.
Want it from her hands. And, you know, it's funny because when I got married, so my husband's Jordanian, and we were living in Australia. My mother-in-law used to, because he loves his mother's food, of course, she used to send recipes by email, and they never turned out. They never turned out right. I would try my best, and I'm very good at following recipes. I'm all right in the kitchen, not bad. But it's like, you know, like you said, it's because I haven't had that experience with her in the kitchen, cooking side by side. It is just, it's just not the same. It doesn't come out the same. And it's like, I don't really know the dishes as well. It's like, there were no, shouldn't even send pictures at the time. It was ages ago. But, you know, it's just, it's so funny because I would try and follow it, and it just wasn't the same. And so, and of course, she's thinking from her mindset of, she knows the food. So it's like, so having to explain it to someone is just,
yeah. But it's her culture. That's the thing. Because that's where she grew up.
Yeah.
Everything's associated from where you are, where you're from. I mean, we forget. It's like I used to live in France for many years. And here, I made a bakery here, La Serre. And I replicated the baguette as well as I can do. I even bought the flour from France. But it didn't taste the same because the bacteria are different. So the end product becomes different. But if you understand the product, you adapt with it instead of trying to control it or trying to subdue it to where you want it to go. You go with the environment. You adapt to your environment. You're here. Because in France, we don't have air conditioning everywhere. Here, we do. So don't forget that when you make bread, in 2 minutes, it will take up the moisture from the air and it will go a bit soggy. So it's a different kind of process. Or when you're making, there's more moisture in the air, so you put less water in to compensate for that. It's all about an understanding. It's like you said, recipes, you need to be a part of the recipe. You need to be involved with the recipe, not just copy and then expect it to do what it's supposed to do. Even if you copy it and you make it right one day, the next day you make it wrong, you scratch your head, why?
Yeah.
But have you spoke to the tomato? Have you tasted the tomato? It could be sweet one day, another day it's a bit sour. It's a bit acid.
Do you know where it comes from?
Exactly. Do you know the sort? These are the information that you need to be a part of that ingredient and to know it. I always use this very funny joke. It's like when I go into a nightclub, I see a beautiful young lady. I don't go and kiss her first. I say hello, and then later on we can do whatever needs to be done. So that's the kind of way that I get people to understand that introduce yourself at least. Know her name, and then you can do, yeah, exactly.
Don't just jump straight in.
Exactly.
That's Chef Issa's advice today. Lena's texted in saying, I have to admit it, but my food hero is my brother, hands down. He is a big show off, though, she says. If you tell us who your food hero is, please do also mention why you admire them so much, because we would love to hear that and would love to hear from you. Now, before I get very, very confused, who's doing our next clue?
That's me.
Nice.
That's my
okay.
turn.
Okay.
Guess the ingredient.
What's our next clue, please, Chef Izu?
Okay. The fruit that today's mystery ingredient is made from is believed to have originated in South Asia. the seed of this fruit is considered to be resilient enough to have distributed to hospitable climates around the world by having traveled long distance by sea.
Okay, second clue, there it is. We're going to come back in just a moment and ask whether you should be stopped for Instagramming your food at a Michelin-starred restaurant. It is the Thursday Brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is Dubai Today.
We're back with the panel, Chef Sylvina Rowe, Chef Izu Ani, and Ishita Saha. Now, we're talking some food news at the moment.
The latest food news.
This is so interesting because our producer, Aisha, pulled this out. And it's fantastic, really, this story. Who's on Instagram here around the table?
Well, all of us.
Everybody.
I think everybody.
I'm
going to
say this very quietly, yes.
You don't sound very proud of it. Now, the thing is here, this is diners at a Michelin-starred restaurant have been told to stop Instagramming their food. So this is one of the UK's three-starred Michelin restaurants putting up a sign telling their diners to stop photographing the food. I mean, this is kind of interesting because this is Waterside Inn in Bray in Berkshire, where a six-course tasting menu costs more than 815 dirhams there, and that's before drinks. And so this is the chef, Michel Roux, who has founded this place. He said, "I'm really getting so upset about people taking pictures. We put up a card at the door. No photos, please. We founded the rest." He founded the restaurant with his brother Albert. What are they doing? Maybe once during the meal, you want to take a photo of something because it's unusual. But what about the flavors, he says?
Okay, but
you can't get flavors in a photo. So he said no.
But you see, immediately, let me tell you, Michel is what, over 70, 80? He's an old school. Instagram is a fairly new thing, you know? And I love Instagram. I love it. I'm a little bit addicted, if I have to be honest and say. And I'm a little bit ashamed to say that. But then again, majority of my clientele is millennia because of the vegan paleo movement, you know.
They love it.
I have to keep up with that, you know. And I find it good to be putting posts that are inspirational, that talk about beautiful, delicious, satisfying food, but yet without the nasties, as I call it. Because, you see, I'm now of certain age. I cannot allow myself to go out there and stuff myself with sugar and with gluten and with various elements that may detriment my health, and I believe they will. But that is just my belief, and I like to state on radio this is my belief. So basically with three Michelin stars also, you can argue that they already are dead. They've arrived. There's no four. There's no five Michelin star. I think that it's just a very nice food porn, like we call it, eye porn, you know, just to put beautiful food on Instagram images. I happen to be very good. I mean, I say that because I've done 8 cookbooks, styling and food styling. I know, and 2 of them are award-winning. They won the Gourmand Award. So they're widely recognized. And I believe in food styling. You eat with your eyes. You eat with your eyes, especially in this region. So basically, you eat with your eyes and then you eat with your mouth. Food is very important. And I have people coming to my restaurant saying, "Can I have this?" And they show me the picture on my Instagram. And of course, we do things like salad cakes. We do things like sushi burgers. We add in wonderful things and people are fascinated. These are like special things, you know. So
so in this day and age, it's
I'm going to jump in there quickly.
Really important.
Oh, please do.
Chef
Izu, yes.
Please do.
you know I love you.
Of course you do.
Actually, I agree with Sylvana. You do eat with your eyes. But I remember what you said about you remember the memories of the food your mother used to make. It's the flavors that that retains. It's not the visual. The visual is there and then it's gone.
No.
But it's the taste that rests with you all the time. And whenever you taste again, it brings you back to where it was, who it was with, the moment it was with the people that you love. So that's where, okay, I am in Instagram. I have to be a part of it because it is a business as well. I haven't just got the lighthouse. I've got Izu Brasserie, Izu Bakery. So all these things I have to partake in doing. But I've decided, okay, I embrace it. But I do it the way that represent who I am. Not as Sylvana said, it's not just being narcissistic. It's about projecting a message that encourages other people, that basically has a social responsibility about it, not just bringing people into the door, but it gives them a message that you want to carry through. So I've decided to do that. I decided to use that media as a way I can practice my social responsibility. It's not because I'm not cooking dairy free, whatever free, that I don't care about the clients. I care so much because I do not put anything but the ingredients that is there. Because whatever, for me to eat healthy is to know what I'm eating. That's my base.
To eat well.
Eat well, balanced. To enjoy, to have that pleasure.
Yeah.
Even to smile makes the body well.
So, absolutely.
So these are the things that I just take life very simple, uncomplicated, and just enjoy it. But it's the taste that really brings you back, because the visual you forget. What? How many people you see and you say, oh, what's your name again?
No.
I totally disagree. You know what? I want to get Ishita's take.
No.
Ishita, because you are a food blogger as well. Ishita Unblogged.
Definitely. I have to... I understand Chef Izu's point of view. I do appreciate Sylvana's. And here I am as a person who's doing a career with Instagram. So I think it's a different ballgame. And also as a foodie who loves to go and eat. So when I go out with my family, they hate it if it's on an invite, because I have an obligation to take pictures and take good pictures, which is going to do good for you. And they really don't accompany me. So most of Sylvana would know that I'm always alone if I've come to shoot for something which is work related. And that is separate. But when I go out with my family, I tell my daughter, your career is not dependent on this Instagram. So enjoy your food. Take one picture, because, you know, it is important for the millennial and for everybody to probably now broadcast a bit what we are doing. And food is a part of that as well, where you're checking in. And, you know, it's become like a social norm. You can't, it's a part of the current generation.
It's just how they do it, isn't it? We're going to continue that conversation in just a minute. Do you get annoyed when people just Instagram their food all the time? Or do you think it's just part and parcel of our culture now? It is just what we do, particularly if you're a millennial. Is it great? Is it for me? It's the way that I discover interesting and new food and restaurants and chefs. Just very quickly, we are going to get the next clue.
Guess the ingredient.
Who's got our next one?
Me.
Ishita.
Despite being high in fat, today's mystery ingredient, is full of healthy fats that support a healthy metabolism and balance body sugar. It is safe for diabetics due to a very low level of digestible carbohydrates. It also has antifungal and antimicrobial properties.
Plenty more coming up on the Thursday brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is Dubai Today.
Yes, welcome back to the second hour of the Thursday brunch. We're celebrating food heroes, those people you look up to, you've been inspired by, learned from over the years. It could be well-known chefs, TV personalities, food writers, bloggers, family members, whoever. It could be ingredients in your kitchen. We want you to share your stories with us of who or what has meant a lot to you. And why? As well as that, we have been talking about whether you should be Instagramming, taking photos of food and Instagramming food while you're at a restaurant. This comes after a controversy, let's just say, that has erupted after the founder, Michelle Roux, of Waterside Inn in Bray in Berkshire. He has banned people from coming to his restaurant, his 3-star Michelin restaurant, and Instagramming food. He's getting very upset about it, saying, I'm really getting so upset about people taking pictures. We put up a card at the door, no photos, please. He says, what are they doing? Maybe once during the meal you want to take a little photo of something because it's unusual, but what about the flavor? So we've been having a little bit, let's say, of a debate in the studio here. So we've got with us Chef Sylvina Roux, leading wellness chef and founder and founder of Omnia Restaurants, Chef Izu Ani from Lighthouse D3, and Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB and blogger at Ishita Unblogged. And, you know, we left off with you, Ishita, talking about how it is important to be photographing food. But to your point as well, Sylvana, kind of saying that you really do, you have to do it properly. You can't just be photographing willy-nilly and just posting things up. But you're good at styling the food.
I kind of learned because through the years, I was the food writer for The Guardian, which is one of the leading broadsheets in UK for about 5 years. And I learned a lot working with some top photographers, of course. Then as I mentioned, I have 8 cookbooks. I haven't written one. I'm due to write another one. But, you know, what's the point writing a book unless really you feel like you have something to write about? And I perhaps have something very soon. So, and also the other thing is that, and Izu says this, but his food is beautiful, you know, and I see his Instagram page and the food is beautiful. I eat in his place and the food is really gorgeous and it's one of the few places. Yeah, thank you. I know. I mean, we are great friends. I know we have this banter here and all that, but really is, you know, I really love everything he does, you know. It's just that I have found a niche. I have found my way of doing things differently. And it's a challenge, you know. And this is the beauty of us. We're all so different and we all do different things in different ways. And Dubai is just the perfect place to embrace all this. So for me also, making your dessert without the sugar, without the gluten, it has to look voluptuous. It has to look princely. Otherwise, you will not going to eat it. And when you eat it, it really has to give you this satisfaction and that kick. And I deliberately now concentrated because I knew Izu is going to be on this program. And Izu is a French chef, let's be honest. I know he's been brought up in UK. But I brought quite a lot of my special French-inspired chocolate desserts to have his opinion on that. And, of course, we started already with Sylvana's Velvet Raspberry Cheesecake.
Oh, we did. We're going to get to that in just a moment. I just want to read out some of the great comments that have been coming in from those who are listening. Serafino says, I hate it when you're at dinner and people start taking photos. It spoils the mood. Leave this to the professionals and to the restaurant, which kind of speaks to your point, Sylvana, and yours as well, Chef Izu. Clinton says, when I was growing up, we laughed at people who took photos of their food. Now I feel sad for anyone who does it. I'm assuming they do it because they have short-term memory loss. Perhaps. This is another one that's come in. No name on this one. I get very annoyed when my kids take pictures of their food when we're out for a meal. If it's something unusual, I'm okay with that because I see it as appreciating the creativity, but a simple cup of coffee is just a no-no. In fact, I think that when people take photos of their food or drink, they're helping advertise the place or the restaurant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what it is, you know. Yeah. And some of them get paid for it and some of them are very good at it.
Yeah.
You know, and in Dubai, it's particularly prolific, that kind of thing, you know.
It really is. But
I wanted to just add one point.
Mm.
It's great to take a picture and to look back and remember. But one thing I do a lot, I wake up very early and I see the sunrise. It's that moment that you appreciate it. Because if I take out my camera, I might lose that moment.
Mm-mm-mm.
I might lose that instant when I'm just appreciating, I mean, in a certain state, enjoying that. That's the thing about when you're concentrating, taking pictures, you're losing that moment, that instant. Because by the time you get your camera and get one of your friends is already dug in and he's already eating and enjoying it, and you've lost that moment where you could have enjoyed it with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like for me, it's that we miss that concentration, just enjoy it that time. It is good as well taking pictures. I'm not adverse to it, but it's just trying to find a balance.
Like my husband.
I agree, because I'll tell you, if you fireworks, imagine the most amazing fireworks, and you're there taking pictures, and then you stop, and then you see the fireworks of what they really are. The picture doesn't do it justice, just like the sunrise he's describing. So it's the same thing. I fully agree with you, Izum.
Now we're friends again.
Kissing and makeup in the studio.
I'm always friends.
Ishita.
I think this is where I have a split personality. Because when I go out with my family, it's really, they hate it that, you know, mama is taking picture. And I don't do that because I'm there to enjoy the moment. And I really don't do that. So as much as you may see that, you know, I'm putting everything on social media, I think I'm a, social media introvert in that sense, because nobody knows where I'm going with my family, what my kids are doing, they're eating, or where we are holidaying. It's what I choose to show.
Okay. Well.
So this is my work, and I choose to show you that I ate at Silvana's restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I ate at Izuani's. So if I don't Instagram, I bet I'll get WhatsApp. Where is that picture?
Where is that picture? Well, it's expected of somebody like you,
exactly.
Isn't it? But so. Adil sent in a great message saying, what's worse than a beautiful dessert arriving at your table and you're just about to dig in, but someone wants to take 150 pics of it? I know. It's like, no, wait, that one didn't work. Yeah. We need to do it again. Don't touch it. I know. But yeah, so that's the kind of debate that we're having. If you've got thoughts on it, we'd love to hear them. 4001 or on the Dubai Eye app. Let's get to the food, Chef Sylvana. Mm. Okay, so tell us about this spectacular. I've already tasted some of this
cheesecake. Let me tell you the story of the cheesecake. See, I used to do a lot of TV back in London. I had my own show. I was a regular on Saturday Kitchen on BBC, and I missed the TV. If there was channels here in Dubai, I'd be there. So hence radio, Sally. So I did a show called The Country Show Cook Off, and I was with number of very prolific celebrity chefs, and we competed against the Women's Institute and Farmers Wives. We went and we visited every single fair and every single kind of big celebration of local crafts and arts. And this cheesecake won the whole show. It won the best in show. It won over the tractors, over the chickens, over the donkeys, over the horses. It won everything. And I was amazed because it is a very special recipe and it's been with me for many years. And I just did it because my husband loves cheesecake. He's British. And I did it and it became instantly the bestseller at Omnia.
What is in this?
Well, this one is actually made with cheese, with proper cheese, as to the others made with vegan cheese. So this is as close as I will get to a traditional, classic dessert, but it's sugar-free and it's gluten-free, but it's not dairy-free. So as long as I can alleviate, get the sugar out, I'm happy with that, you know? So it's still no compromise there, you know? And like I said, it's an award-winning cheesecake. It wins all the possible awards. We enter it all the time. People love it. People travel for it.
I can see why.
And it has a big crown on it because it's just loved by various royalty around the world, you know, I have to say.
Ishita?
It is delicious.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the cheesecake?
Oh, my God. I love Omnia's. I love Silvana's desserts, and I love Silvana's food, actually. And I'll be honest here because I've known Silvana from the time she's come to Dubai. And the first dining, the dinner that we went was at Capital Club. And she made a dessert, which was, I think, a Dubai explosion or something on the table.
Yeah.
Those days when all these drama was a bit rare. So it's amazing. And I've seen Silvana shopping in the farmer's market and very passionate about the things that go in. And the one that I was tasting this,
Good. That is very special. But can I talk about this one, what you tasted this now?
Hang on.
I want to say a comment about cheesecake.
Yes. I think, we need to go around the table.
Yeah,
let's go one at a time. One at a time for each of these spectacular desserts. Chef Izu.
So, I'm going to go and start saying how long have I known Silvana? Okay, I've known her since when she ate my chicken. And she said, it's delicious chicken, but it's too expensive. Remember
yes,
that?
I remember that.
That was the first time I met her. I said, who's this woman telling me my chicken is expensive? Does she know where I get the chicken from? I spoke to the chicken before I said, yeah, so anyway.
You have a special loving relationship with your chicken.
Anyway, let's go back to the cheesecake. The cheesecake is fantastic, actually. I do agree.
Thank you.
It's very delicious.
Thank you so much.
But I think Silvana forgot to mention something about somebody.
God, he's so chefy, you know. He's so chefy. Not what he's going to say. And what
I'm not going to say anything.
I don't know what you're going to say. I've got no idea what you're going to say.
Come on, you said it off air.
Okay, I have to be honest and say that the second best cheesecake in town, it's Izu's cheesecake. Now, the reason I know that, listen. The reason I know that, okay, let's be honest.
I love the admission.
The reason I know that is because when people come to my place, I overhear conversations. And it's always his cheesecake compared to my cheesecake. So it's a good place to be, you know
exactly.
what I mean? It's a good place to be.
That's why I'm quite proud, actually, very because good. It is very
well,
tasty.
Well, why didn't you bring your cheesecake in next time?
Someone have a cheesecake wall.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's just luxurious. It is
Thank
beautiful.
You. And it's steamed, and it's got no sugar, and it's got no gluten. So for me, when you give something so chiffony and so delicate and so delicious and light, but without the sugar, because, you see, for me, that's important. Why should I never have desserts with sugar anymore. And you will be, well, no, last time you invited me for lunch, I didn't touch the desserts because I just don't. Everything else I ate, like, my God. But I actually am very careful. I'm 95% sugar-free because when I can create these voluptuous, seductive, amazing, decadent desserts, what is the point? Why should I have sugar?
This is the first time
you know? This
I've
is
had
just me, you know?
Something like this that is sugar-free and very, very healthy. And I am very impressed. We still have to
Thank
go.
You.
Paleo vegan tiramisu.
Yes.
Paleo vegan chocolate mousse cake. Dark chocolate budino
Chocolate
tart.
Budino. I brought this for Izu especially, but
we're going to get to that in
okay.
just a minute.
Okay.
But first, we have to do the next clue in our mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
It's Izu.
And it is Chef Izu this time.
Okay. Today's mystery ingredient smells like the fruit that it comes from and has a mild, toasty, sweet taste.
Okay, we're going to be tasting more deliciousness in just a moment and going through more of your texts about the photography, the Instagram food scandal that's erupting at the moment. Plenty more coming up on the Thursday Brunch with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Dubai Today.
It's a debate that is erupting on our text lines all about whether you should be photographing your food at a restaurant. This is after Chef Michelle Roux at Waterside in Bray in Berkshire in England said he just basically put up a sign and he said, you've got to stop taking pictures. No photos, please, at the restaurant. He's been so upset by the whole thing. But his nephew, who is much younger, Michelle Roux Jr., Albert's son, he's fine with it. He's like, you know, I let people take photos of my food. No problem there. But let's come back to some of your texts. I love these. These are great. Rianne has said, if it was 1980, would you be taking photos of what you ate each day? The human race is regressing. We've got another one from Crystal saying, I've hated food photography for its obvious disrespect to the food and experience itself. Particularly love, though, she does say, I particularly love Sylvana's sugar-free desserts. Hashtag eat healthy. So we've got fans out there, Sylvana, of your gorgeous, gorgeous desserts. So
Thank God.
We've just had... Oh, you have a lot of fans. Fans that, you know, we can mention and fans that we cannot.
Absolutely, absolutely. Alhamdulillah, we're very lucky. I can't complain. That's why we
can
love Dubai.
Can you give me some?
You can't complain, my darling. Remember the nightclubs, they see me coming, all eyes on me.
I do say hello.
So let's get back to the food, guys. Let's keep it halal here, as we say. Okay, so we've just had the velvet cheesecake, your award-winning velvet cheesecake, gluten-free, sugar-free, absolutely spectacular, really something delicious and something to really savor. You just want to eat it. Oh, wow, amazing. But, okay, so let's move on now to the tiramisu that you have brought in.
Yeah, I mean, I love tiramisu. My brother-in-law is Italian, and I dare say that I make a phenomenal tiramisu. I know he put something, you did put something on your Instagram, tiramisu, which was very beautifully layered. I loved it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
My it's new restaurant.
Very beautiful,
tell,
you know.
Tell us quickly about that.
It's my new restaurant in City Walk 2 in BHV, Izu Bakery and Izu Brasserie.
And you've got a really lovely tiramisu there.
I call it Tira Izu.
Oh, how nice. How cool. Nice little twist.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Izu. But let's go back to my healthy tiramisu.
Anyway, Izu.
Yeah, but it's like... The tiramisu I make, I mean, Ishita just said it, so I don't want to talk about my own. I'll let Ishita say.
I'm still, you know, like, drooling and licking my spoon.
Yeah. But what's in it? Because, I mean, this is paleo and it's vegan.
It's raw as well, so it's not cooked. I specialize in lots of raw desserts, and it's very tricky, very difficult, because you're not using the conventional methods of creating anything. Like, I would, if I go for a very hardcore tiramisu, I will make mascarpone pepperoni cheese myself, but then it changes the whole idea of tiramisu, and tiramisu has to be voluptuous and creamy and tasty and velvety and kind of marshmallowy, you know. So this one is just about similar to that, because I use coconut in there. I use date, use date for the sweetness, and I layer it like an opera. So it's actually beautiful layers, and I create a very nice soft touch with the coconut. Now, with my desserts, I'm very careful in the use of coconut oil. It's controversial, but also it has a very strong aftertaste. So I use very minimal, so I use different other methods. So it's extremely hard. It's like creating a recipe for a gluten-free bread. There are many, but most of them are not working. So this one actually has a chocolate, has cocoa beans, has cocoa nibs. I actually work with one of the most prestigious chocolatiers in the world, and they get me a very high-quality cocoa bean, you know, that comes in the husks that my guys break, and I melt and I use. So this is only for these desserts, particular desserts. You know, I'm very lucky to have an incredible business partner who allows me to do those frivolities in the kitchen. So that is very popular, actually.
It's delicious. Tell us what you thought, Ashita.
I really loved it. See, my voice is croaky because I'm like in my... Silvina, I also find your desserts a bit heavy. Like, for example, I'm thinking that when in a conventional dessert, probably one piece I can have with ease. But your desserts, maybe because it's packed with stuff.
The desserts are not heavy. They're extremely light for the simple reason that they have zero flour, they have zero sugar, they have zero dairy, nothing. But I know what you mean by heavy.
I meant they're strong. I'm satiated.
No, they're strong. Because we're using a lot of nuts. Mm. They're not fluffy. I'm not using any E-numbers. I'm not using any kind of... elements that people, I'm not talking about chefs, I'm talking about commercial type of desserts, you know. And they are strong because using coconut, which is strong, using nuts, a lot of nuts, makes it expensive, makes it strong as well. But funny enough, Ishita, I wish all of people felt like that, because they keep telling me your portion is too small, should be bigger, can we have more and more?
That's what I'm saying.
It's just all very wholesome, good ingredients. Yeah. And if you leave them outside, they have no preservative, they have nothing. Even the sugar is not there to preserve them. So, I mean, I manage all right, one slice always, no problem for me.
No, but I get what she meant by the it kind of feels heavy. But I think because of the nuts you're saying, because the nuts carry a lot of oil, a lot of good fats. But so when you eat it, your mouth is like covered with all that. Mm. So because you got minute little holes in your tongue, so that needs to go there for your brain to register. Okay. So when it covers the lips, the tongue. Sorry, it takes more time for it to register. But the flavors are very good. Actually.
Beautiful.
It's about education. This is a paleo raw desserts. It's about education. They're not baked. This is not flour. There's no bulk pulver, no baking soda.
I'm going to come back and ask you how you create these. How do you get the balance right when you're talking about healthy, delicious desserts, making those luxurious desserts? We're talking to Chef Silvina Rowe, Chef Izzy, Izu Annie, and Ishita Saha. Tell you what, it's all going down here in the studio with our foodie panel, Chef Silvina Rowe, leading wellness chef and founder of Omnia Restaurants. We've got Chef Izu Annie from Lighthouse D3, as well as your other restaurants all around town. You've got a new one that you've just opened up on City Walk as well. Ishita Saha is also here, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB and blogger at Ishita Unblogged. Now, as you can hear from me kind of trying to get all of these different beautiful desserts in front of me, we've got from Chef Silvina. So two sides here. We've got Chef Silvina's very, very ultra healthy
delicious dessert. Please, delicious. First of all, delicious.
I'm going to get to how delicious they are in just a minute, because this is the first time I have ever had like a vegan or super healthy dessert, and I cannot believe what I'm tasting.
Thank you.
Did not think it would be this good. Let me just be completely honest with you. But on the other side, it's like a boxing ring in the studio here. in the other corner, we've got Chef Izu, who's brought in his donuts. So this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, my donuts, yeah.
You've got to behave yourself. Otherwise, it may be the last time we invite you on. But yes, he's brought his donuts here, and they are phenomenal. Tom Urquhart has already had his fill this morning. He didn't have breakfast, but lucky for him, Easy was coming in, and it was all fixed and done. I want to get to what Ishita, you were saying earlier, that you feel like the desserts are really rich. I completely agree with that. I cannot believe that one mouthful, it is rich in a beautiful way. It is not in an overwhelming kind of gluttonous feel. It's like, you know, because I don't know how you do it, but you've taken out all of the naughty things, as it were, but it's an explosion of flavor in your mouth as well. Let's talk about some of the things you brought in. You've brought in velvet cheesecake, which is award-winning, the vegan tiramisu we've just talked about, vegan chocolate mousse cake, and we're talking about the Bodino tart as well. How do you do it?
Well, you know, I love desserts. I mean, I did a program years ago on Channel 4, which I said something like, dinner without a dessert is like something without something, which is, Izu will know what I mean about it, but I cannot say it on air. Because I remember it was a big shock when I said it to the British, because you cannot eat a beautiful dinner without a dessert. And dessert can either make it or break it. So my dessert are meant to be just like the most voluptuous, amazing, beautiful, stunning dessert, but without the without the sugar to give you the spikes of mood swings. And
so,
and
what are you putting? How come they're so sweet?
I mean, I use quite a lot of, see, for example, I use combination of ingredients which create their own sweetness. This happens rare. This is found very, very rarely. Like the last dessert, the chocolate budino, has only three ingredients, which I cannot tell you about there because
That's your secret recipe.
Well, it's kind of very simple, you know, but it has three ingredients in there. Maybe four with one that I put in the crust, but it's the two ingredients that like, and these two ingredients create this natural sweetness. And this chocolate is a raw chocolate, so I make it actually out of my my chocolatier when he sends me. And basically, there is no sweetener. With the tiramisu, the date is the sweetener. Now, I'm not saying this is diabetic proof, but it is really good and healthy because dates are good for us. So as long as I don't use sugar, because see, if you use sugar, 3-4 hours after that you're hungry, you want more. It's addictive because sugar is addictive. With the other dessert, my favorite sweetener is using maple syrup. Sometimes I use agave, but not so often. Agave I don't love so much. And
because?
I use always, I don't know, I read controversial things about agave, you know. Yeah. You see, it's all about glycemic index when it comes down to the sugars. And maple syrup has the lowest, sugar has the highest. Coconut sugar is good and healthy, but also has a high glycemic index. So I'm careful of that. However, I just do healthy desserts that are good for you. They're not depriving. They're good for you. So we also have some naughty desserts that are like conventional, I should call them. Those are at Omnia Baharat as well, at the Mall of Emirates, because we're in a mall environment there. There we have voluptuous homemade Nutella cakes.
The gulab jamun.
We have gulab jamun, the Indian dessert. But we make it all from scratch at home, like what Izu said.
It's very good.
Good food is made from scratch when you know what you put in there. I just go this extra mile where I want to give you an option, because you know what, Sally? I've managed to increase the collagen of my own skin by 48%. And I work very closely with an epigenetic clinic where every 9 weeks I send my blood and various other bits and pieces for them to make tests. And this is, they're telling me that. So I know what I'm doing, and I do this only through superfoods. I basically know that through foods you can alter your genes, and you can relate to your energy levels, to your vitality. And it's all about vitality. It's all about energy. You know, so you can't tell me, this donuts looks amazing. And I will tell you a secret. Years and years and years ago, when Krispy Kreme came out, you know, I was the first in Harrods in London to queue to buy them for me and my children. And wow, I was like, wow, that's amazing, that's incredible. But this was like me, the old me, and I probably was around the age of Izu then, so I probably could afford to do it then, you know. Now, I'm very careful. Because why? Because I can. Because I do this incredible food. So I'm really pleased that you loved it and you liked it. And I'm not, I'm usually quite militant, but things should be done in moderation. I love moderation, but,
exactly.
You know, and I agree with that. So I will be honest and say that every now and again I will have a dessert if I really want it. Like this tiramisu, I'm thinking his tiramisu, I want to try it because of the way it was led. It was beautiful. And even tomorrow for the weekend, I'm making a conventional tiramisu at Omnia, which is mean with the mascarpone, but I don't put dairy, for example. And the biscuits, the biscotti, I will make with maple syrup. So again, I will make it super healthy and clean.
Mm.
Then I'm happy. Then I know illness is not going to touch me.
Yeah,
I know.
You've done what you can do. But, I mean, it can be difficult if you're at home. I mean,
yeah.
Do you know, I mean, are there things that we can do when we're making desserts that we can substitute to kind of make it a little bit healthier?
It's
maybe not the full way that you do it.
It's difficult. Also, you see, recipes don't work. If you go on the internet and put, say, paleo vegan cheesecake, most of the recipes don't work. It's very, very tricky, very difficult. But if you're at home, even if you stick to fruit, it has fructose, it has sugars inside, but it's a healthy sugar. So I don't know what to say. Just don't buy it from the supermarkets. That's what I'll say, because those desserts are just not very clever. They're just not very smart desserts, you know.
Make it at home.
And yeah, make it at home. Make something delicious at home, knowing what flour you're using, knowing what sugar you're using. Make it clean as possible. Make even a simple Victoria sponge cake, you know.
Yeah.
I think, Sally, here I want to just put in, think of long time back when our parents or our grandparents, I'm sure they cooked everything at home. They made everything, right? Mm-hmm. They used sugar, they used ghee, they used the fat, whatever. But everything came from a region. So, for example, if the Italians used the olive oils, the Bengalis, they used the mustard oil.
They created it themselves.
Yeah, but and also it was very regional, or it was adapted to your genetic, you know, what your body or what your are genetically aligned to. I think the problem today is because we have moved away from that. So if I am genetically aligned to eating rice and I'm like, no, rice is not good, and I'm suddenly doing something else, plus the lifestyles have changed, everything has changed. You know, we are in a very sedentary kind of a lifestyle. And having said that, Dubai is a place where you can become active as well, because you have the beach here.
Exactly.
You have the
amazing, you know, place. It's lifestyle wise.
You can. It is a matter of habit, I think.
Yeah, habit and balance. So to make sure we've got that balance, we're going to come back in a minute and talk about Chef Izu's amazing donuts that we're getting stuck into as well. But before we do that, we've got to give the last two clues for our mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
All right. Next clue.
Yeah. Those used to cooking with wheat flour can find cooking with today's mystery ingredient to be very tricky, as it cannot be used as a direct substitute. Today's ingredient is highly absorbent and will do better with a mixture of other flours or with a large increase of liquids, especially eggs, which act as a binding agent.
Okay, and Chef Izu's got our final clue as well, all in one go, one hit.
Today's mystery ingredient can be used to make breads, pancakes, cookies, unlike almond flour. It can be used by people with an allergy to nuts. It is very popular ingredient with Sylvana Rowe, the beautiful one next to me, is in her dark chocolate Bodine tart and her chocolate mousse cake, which are both featured in today's Thursday brunch.
That should tell you what it is. Chef Sylvana Rowe, who is a leading wellness chef here, not just in the region, but worldwide, and founder of Omnia Restaurants. And we've got with us also Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB, blogger at Ishita Unblogged. And, of course, we've got with us Chef Izu Ani, who has been all about his donuts today. let's just put it that way. We've got Aisha, our producer. She is going to be Facebook Living what we're doing right now. So get on our Facebook page at Dubai I 102.8. You brought in a delectable selection, shall we say, Chef Izu. Take us through it.
Yes. I mean, honestly, I always say balance. That's what life is all about. You can't go one way. If you go one way, there's something missing somewhere. I don't criticize anybody's way of living. I agree with everybody. Everyone does what they feel. For me, I feel happy eating tasty food, and I want people that eat my food, I want them to feel happy as well. And these donuts were made at Lighthouse. I mean, for me, Lighthouse is a It's one of my restaurants that I'm so proud of, because it has a certain kind of balance. It's there. There's everything that you want. If you want to have vegan, you want to have things without anything, and we're just clean. It's clean food. We know what we put inside of it. Even the donuts, we know the flour we put inside of it, and sugar as well. I mean, we keep branding sugar as the bad enemy. This is the dark side. And to be honest, I love sugar, but understand what sugar you're putting down. The refined sugar, yes, because it's got loads of chemicals inside of it. But sugar as well is needed in the body. Mm. It is translated into glucose, which gives the organs the energy. So we can't not just live without it. We need the balance of everything. And for me, these donuts, I mean, they're fantastic. I mean, you come to Lighthouse, you probably...
you don't need to tell us that they're fantastic. I think we've established that already before we even had them. But what are the flavors that you've brought
I want balance. I mean, I've got a healthy side of the donuts with a granola on top of it.
Yeah, but you've also got caramel there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said balance. We can't just
caramel and granola.
Exactly. That's a great combination. We've got a chocolate spread, and it's filled a little bit inside. And then we have just a plain, which is sugar. And then we've got white chocolate with a white chocolate cream inside as well.
Oh, yes. How do you come up with the different flavors? Because, you know, everybody sells donuts, everybody makes donuts, but how do you make yours different?
No, I mean, I've got a full talent of chefs that work with me. I mean, everything is a partnership. I don't have, I don't claim to have a dictatorship in what I do. Mm. I consult with my guys, and we just play around. We don't have any boundaries. You just allow our imagination to wander, and you find wonderful things as you wander around. And the combinations of these donuts, actually, we made these donuts this morning, and the guys were saying, what flavor should we do? I just, okay, get some caramel, get some granola, get some white chocolate. It just happens. Mm. I mean, you know your product. When you know your product, it's easy to move them around. Mm. I mean, so, and the flours we use, they're really good quality flour. I mean, we don't use flours which have a lot of chemicals inside that to basically balance them out, because some places in the world they buy their wheat everywhere, and to be able to get the right protein mix inside, they have to balance it with certain kind of chemicals. It's a long, process, but I don't want to bore anyone with that. So I'm very, very picky with my ingredients. I even travel around the world to find out where my ingredients come. I go to even Canada to understand how my animals have been raised. And when I was there, they would tell me that they make a recipe basically to feed the animals. And they ferment all the feed they give the animal, so it doesn't put the animal under stress. So there's a lot of details. For me, eating healthy is knowing what you're eating. And that's what I always say. I mean, that's my standpoint. You don't have to go. I mean, I love Salvena's food. It's very tasty. I mean, I can't say anything. But
let's just be clear. These are not baked donuts. They are fully, properly fried donuts.
They're baked with love. I mean, you've got to remember that.
Fried with love.
Come on.
Sylvana, you were saying this off air as well. And you know, lugaymat, which are like the Arabic donuts. Yeah, it's little donut balls in syrup. Mm, you've got to fry those. There are some things that only work that way.
I have to say that with Omnia, alhamdulillah, we are very, very lucky. We have a very great number of the local Emirati population coming and loving our food. And so we do quite a lot of Emirati food, and I get invited, and I have most of my friends in their households, and lugaymat is like a war, you know, my one is better. And I have had some amazing ones, you know, and I can overindulge, because then I know that I won't eat it again, you know. But like Izu talking about balance, yes, it's balance is important, but I'm one of these people, my character, it's all about overindulgence, and luckily I've never smoked, I've never drunk alcohol, so I've always been able to overindulge in the good things in life, and I just concentrate on very little in life, on what really will keep me happy and healthy for the rest of my life, and my customers as well.
Do you know what's really interesting? I was just having some of your donut. The one with the chocolate ganache on top, and when I compared it to Sylvana's chocolate Bordino tart, Actually, yours is richer than his ganache. That's amazing to me. And it's healthier, clearly. But it's been an amazing and fascinating discussion today, all about food heroes, all about the different sides of cooking healthy, but also choosing great ingredients when you decide to indulge as well. And I want to thank all of you. It's just been so much fun today. Chef Sylvaina Rowe, leading wellness chef and founder of the Omnia Restaurants.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Chef Izu Ani from Lighthouse and all of your other fabulous restaurants around town.
Thank you. Come on, join me at Lighthouse in Design District. It's a really amazing space.
We will. We will. And Ishita Saha, editor and co-founder of Foodie Mag DXB and blogger at Ishita Unblogged.
Thank amazing. Thank you, Sally, and thank you for everything, chefs.
Yeah.
It's delicious. I think the bottom line has to be that they have to be delicious and bring happiness, isn't
exactly.
it, Sally?
And for the mystery ingredient, it was, of course...
Well, coconut flour.
Coconut flour.
This is Dubai Today.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.